This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, 4:06 in the sunshine in the Umpqua Valley. Let's double check our current temperature, make sure we get it accurate at this point. I think we are, 59 degrees.
Well, it's 60 in the parking lot. How's that?
Well, we don't have a separate reading for that.
Well, you should. Well, good afternoon, all you gardeners and landscapers and plant lovers out there. This is the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, in case you didn't know. So welcome. And if you have any questions about your lawn, your shrubs, your pruning, fertilizing, whatever, you can call 673-4464 and ask your question, and I will give you an answer, and it will be most likely very correct.
So, breaking news, I have hot water in my kitchen faucet.
In your kitchen faucet?
With
hot water.
Yeah, because we had a faucet that went sideways on us a while back.
Oh.
And so you could only, the handle partially broke, and you could only get cold.
Huh.
And our dishwasher hasn't worked for a while, and so this complicates things when you want, like, clean dishes washed in hot water.
Well, why? Just wipe it off with a towel and eat on it. It's
no,
okay.
That is not how it works. And I'm double-checking here. It looks like I have a new garbage disposal. We haven't had one of those for a couple of years.
Jeez Louise, man, you're uptown. You're first class.
Yeah, and let's see, what else did we... Oh, we got a bunch of other plumbing fixed last week, but this was kind of the last part of that. We're trying to... Basically, we have been so busy in our personal lives and some family things going on that we just get home and collapse. And... And my wife looked around and said, why is it that we both have jobs and we have no hot water in the kitchen?
Yeah. What's wrong with you people anyway?
Well, so anyway, we've got the plumbing folks have been busy and happy to write that check when it comes in. But it's really funny. The things when you haven't had hot water in the kitchen in months.
Months?
Months.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's just like...
You months to call the plumber?
Because you've got to normally be there part of the time the plumber's there, and I live here.
That's for sure.
Oh, so, God. Anyway.
Anyway, if you have any plumbing problems, call Kyle, okay?
No. You can write your own check for that. It's a different program.
Oh, geez Louise. Well, anyway, we're going to talk about yards.
It's an interesting thought about... I don't think a plumbing program would be all that excited. I don't know.
Well, I'm not sure that it would be, but you never know. We can give it a try next week.
No, actually, a lot of that type of thing really ties in with Gary Sullivan Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 8.
I see.
Because they do the do-it-yourself thing, and it's all kinds of stuff for your home and all of that.
Uh-huh.
So that's where you go for that information.
Well, now that you've got all that plumbing information, we'll get on to some real interesting stuff, hopefully. And I hope your plumbing is all right forever. But
we'll let you know after surgery. That's a whole other story.
Oh, gosh. I got one of those coming up, too. So anyway, if you have a large yard and you would like to create sections into, like, unique landscape areas, you need to build pathways or trails to those areas. In other words, you've got, maybe a flat lawn right off the back door or off the patio or something like that. And maybe you got 20 feet of lawn, and then in the last 10 feet of your yard or the last 7 feet of your yard, it kind of slopes up because you're maybe on a minor hillside or something like that. And you want to landscape it. You want to decorate it. There's nothing but, like, bark up there, and maybe there's a couple of trees, you know. But you want to give it some pizzazz, okay? And one way to do it, of course, you could landscape it and then walk across the grass all the time. But you'll notice after a while that where you're walking across the grass, it's getting a little bit worn out and looking a little bit ugly in comparison to the rest of the lawn because there's so much foot traffic on it. So maybe it's time to you know, build a trail, you know, a pathway, if you will, to that area. And this can be a small or fairly large trail or pathway, however you prefer, for like wheelbarrows, so that you can maybe take some topsoil up or some bark mulch or some, you know, there's always something to do with a wheelbarrow, it seems. And these paths can be functional or fancy or both. And functional would be just a straight path out there, you know, no pizzazz to it. Or you can have something kind of curvy with a little bit of curve here and there, and separate the lawn maybe into two, you know, like in half. Maybe you got a 30-foot long lawn, you know, you go down in the middle there and just kind of get up into there. And you can line this pathway with river rock on the outside edges because you're going to put gravel in the center of this and you want that gravel to stay in place. You don't want the gravel to, when the kids run through it or somebody else might run through it, stumbles or scrapes their feet and throws gravel into your lawn. You don't want that. So that's why you put some fancy, nice, large rocks on the edge. You can do it with railroad ties. You could do it with 4x4s. You could do it with, you know, bender board or something like that. But rocks seem to be more stable. They're a lot less expensive than all these other things I just talked about. And you can get them for free. You go up the river and or a creek and pull over, you see a nice spot, and you can pull over, and you say, well, gee whiz, there's some rocks right there. And you go through the creek, and you're exploring the creek, and you're seeing fish, and you're picking up a few rocks, and just, you know, the creeks don't miss rocks. I mean, if you clean the whole creek out of rocks, I don't see you doing that. But you can go to several different places, or you can go to a commercial rock pit, like Uncle Sand and Gravel has one. And, you know, there are others, Beaver State, you can go through and you pay X amount of dollars, usually $5, $7, something like that for a half a pickup load of nice boulders. And these boulders or rocks, whatever you want to call them, they're usually about 6 inches to 8 inches in diameter or through, so that they're substantial enough that once you lay them in the ground on the edge of your gravel path, they're going to stay there. And you might trip on them once in a while, but after a while you'll learn not to stub your toe on your rocks that you laid in. But that kind of finishes off your path, and it makes it look good and keeps the gravel in place. So and it also breaks up your landscape into like smaller sections for special plantings. For instance, maybe up along your fence line or something like that, you might like a rhododendron garden if it's a in a shady area, or if it's a real sunny area, maybe a rose garden. But you know, have some color up there, have a little bit of a pizzazz. And this pathway can, like I said, can be straight, curvy. It can go in loops, and you can go, you know, just bow wow on it, and make it look like Disneyland if you want. But on the look, you want to create. Also, the path be wide enough so that you don't trip on anything, and make sure that you can get a piece of equipment to travel easy on the path. And that means with the gravel that you put down there, you should compact it. You should smash it down a little bit so it's not just loose gravel. I mean, there's going to be some loose pieces, but not all of it. As long as you can push a mower up there or some other machine, maybe a trencher. You're going to trench some sprinkler line or something like that. You know, and it's easier to go on a path that's somewhat stable. But like I say, this is going to break your yard into unique planting areas. And if it's like I said, if it's full sun, roses or lilacs or, you know, dwarf trees or, you know, some sort of Japanese maples would do well in an area like that, or even a dogwood if you have the room to do all this. Don't just try to crowd a whole bunch of stuff in there to fill it up. Start slow, put three or four or five things up there, watch it for a while, look at it for a while, and then you can gradually gradually add plant materials to it if it's a little sparse, and you can see how your imagination is going to create this very unique garden for yourself. Now, step one, like I said, I didn't say this yet, but I'm going to say it now. Step one in the process is to remove all grass and weeds down to bare ground, and so you got a nice clean slate in which to work. Like I say, get down there to that bare soil, and at this point, you can build a mound or two for special effects. If you are installing lights, this is the time to do that. And once the basics are done, that's when you begin to design for plants. And you can go shopping and see, you know, well, maybe you got, let's say you got 20 feet of length in which to cover, and it's a and from the lawn to the fence, maybe it's another 10 or 12 feet, something like that. You're maybe looking at, say, four or five, maybe five or six rhododendrons, good-sized ones, up along that area. Don't plant them too close to the fence or anything like that. Give them plenty of room. And then maybe in the foreground, in the front of those rhododendrons, you can plant some ground covers, some Cotone aster or some candy tuft or something along those lines to kind of lead up into your rhodies. And then it's all color. It's all different shades. It's all different shapes. It's all different sizes. And when they're blooming, a lot of times they're all blooming at the same time. So it's a real hit on your backyard. It really decorates it up. And like I say, just don't crowd it up with too many plants. And sometimes you might want to wait a year and see how they grow. And then you can add plants over a period of time after you see how they're growing or how fast they're growing. And too many, like I say, too many plants right off the bat, you know, they'll look good for a while, and then bingo, you're saying, where did I get all this stuff? In 3 years, it's too crowded, and you're either pruning real hard or removing some of the material. So always be very conservative on the amount of plant material that you put in this area. And like I say, it all depends on the size. If it's just 10 feet wide, you know, you're not going to get a lot of plants in there. But if it's 20 feet wide, you can really doll it up. You can really decorate it up. And it's going to grow and have plenty of room. And like I say, the biggest mistake many people do is just to plant too many shrubs or trees. And you'll see that. Like in 3 years, it's a jungle. And you'll start pulling out plants or pruning severely. It's just far easier to plant just a few plants and get out and get used to them and see how that works. And how much are they growing every year? Are they growing a foot? Are they growing 4 inches? The big mistake, like I say, is overplanting. Just because they're small at first, that doesn't mean they're going to stay small in the long run. And they got to have that space to grow and bloom. And after, like I say, a year or two, you can add more material if it's needed. Learn what the mature size is going to be and plant accordingly. So get a book, or ask, if you go to a nursery, ask the nursery person who's you're dealing with, how large will this plant actually get? Well, I found out that book averages are not sometimes the ultimate size. I mean, I've seen rhododendrons 10 feet tall and 10 feet wide in some of the landscapes I've worked on over the years and trying to bring a yard into compliance with city code. You know, you can't have a 10-foot rhodie. But, you know, plants basically are inexpensive, and if you buy too many, like I say, up front, plant them, and you plant them too close together, you're going to have a real mess in a few years. So space them out, give them some room, enjoy them individually, and once you see how fast they're growing or how big they're going to get, you can add smaller plants, ground covers, and fill in any of the blank you think that are blank areas with something else. You can put a few boulders up there. Boulders always act as accent points, and you know, and use odd numbers. Don't put two on one side and two on the other. It's just kind of, you know, it looks okay, but it's not cool. It's not natural. But if you have, you know, let's say you're going to put three nice boulders up or five nice boulders, just kind of space them out and try to make them look natural and plant some ground covers around the base of those boulders. So you're looking at me with...
Well, no, I'm just... this is interesting discussion because how many times have you talked about people putting in too much stuff? For you, though, you know, as a professional, gives you the opportunity to have folks pay for you to put them in and then pay for you to take half of them out later.
Well, that's true, too, but I was always careful not to put too many in too close together and explain to my client that this is how large this particular plant is going to be. And if I put them any closer, you're not going to be happy with the overall effect that it gives your yard in the long run.
But some people are going to want it done anyway, right?
Well, some people do. And I say, well, when I'm done, you can add all you want. No, I don't say that. I just try to talk them out of it. So we'll be back in a minute.
All right, 422, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, 673-4464 from News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, 424. It's a nice sunny afternoon. If it was like 25 degrees warmer, we'd be back in July.
Yeah, and that's what he wants to have. So if you have a question, 673-4464, don't hesitate to call.
Or could we lobby for a change in the climate?
Yeah, we could all you want, but I don't know if it'll do you any good.
I don't know. I mean, theoretically, I have some connections, but I don't know if we can get them to change the weather quite. I don't know.
Well, if you do, let me know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've been talking about planting too close together, and that's one of the big cardinal sins of home landscaping is when people plant things too close together. And I even have been, don't disappear on me now. He's disappearing, so if we go off the air, it's not my fault. But case in point, several years ago, I planted some Japanese maples along my front porch. And I got a fairly wide and long front porch, and I live out in the boondocks, so I'm not messing with my view or anything like that. But the Japanese maples, they were all, you know, 4 to 5 feet tall, and they were the upright variety, not the spreading. I've got spreading varieties as well, but not in front of the porch, in front of the deck. And I put them, I don't know, 12 feet apart, something like that. And I've got 4 or 5 of them out there. And now, 20 years later, I am pruning them a little bit each year just to kind of keep them from overlapping so I can actually see between them. And they look good. I've got some deep red ones, and I've got some that are light green and yellow, and they look good. They're nice. But I did that on purpose. But I still, there was one tree that kind of took over, and it's a lot bigger than the others that I planted. But I've got rhododendrons underneath them, in between, behind them, and so it kind of fills the whole area. But again, my rhodies are probably good 5 feet apart, and my wife fills the spaces in between with ground covers and annuals and perennials, so that there's a lot of color out there all spring and summer and even into the fall. But like I say, these trees were 4 to 5 feet tall when I planted them. And now they're, like I say, 15, 18 feet, maybe 20, but somewhere in that range. And they look good. They decorate the front of the house. They create a little bit of shade on the front. I don't have a lawn. I have grass. I live in a canyon, and I got grass that I mow, maybe in the spring once every 10 days, and then in the fall maybe once a month. That's because it's no irrigation or anything like that, and it's just wild grass, you know, pasture grass. And it's green from, oh gosh, the 1st of November to about the 1st of June, and the rest of time is kind of different shades of tan and brown. and that's about it. But you know, like I said, the roadies are looking good. They have plenty of room to grow, and they're, like I say, well, they're maybe, my notes here I have, they're 6 to 7 feet apart, and I prune a little bit off each of them every year. A little, you know, there might be an odd branch that goes in a different direction, or one that's pushes new leaves and one branch gets longer than the others. I'll just prune that back and kind of keep it not hedge-like or perfectly uniform, but just kind of naturally about the same size. I want all the branches to be about the same length, and it works really well that way. And like I say, the color stuff at the base of all these, in between all these, really makes it look good. And nothing is suffocating one another. The plants are got plenty of space, plenty of air, partial sun, because the Japanese maples are planted in that same area, and it's you know, they serve my yard good, and because it's something that I don't have to take care a lot of. I think I water, or my wife waters that area maybe about once a week in the hot part of the summer. That's now they've been in there for what, shoot, 10 to 15 years at least. So, you know, so your choice is to look at your area that you want to landscape, and kind of try to visualize how many plants would actually fit back there. And if you don't know your plants, get a book on plants, get a book on landscaping, go to several nurseries and look at what's there. Ask a lot of questions. And most nursery people are very upright and honest, and they will give you good information. And that was one of the things we all, when I owned Wintergreen, that was the big thing that me and my staff did when waiting on customers. Make sure you have the information so that when Mr. Smith says, well, how wide will that juniper go, or how tall will that roadie go, or how tall will that Japanese maple be, or how full will it be, you have the answers because you have the experience at it. And that way they can make their appropriate decision for their own yard, because they're going to do their own landscape, or they're just going to, you know, it's there. So give them the information, and then they can go home and look at it a little differently. And for, oh gosh, I've looked at thousands of landscapes over the last 50 years here in Roseburg and Douglas County. And one of the biggest mistakes I have found is that people plant when they do their own, and not only just homeowners, but there are some so-called professionals out there that do the same thing. They just put way too many plants. They're selling plants and putting way too many in there. And after a few years, 4, 5, 6 years, you got to either prune them severely or pull every other one out or something like that. So don't crowd them up. Keep a lot of space around there. Don't let them go by the wayside, if you will. Just enjoy them, and you'll be glad you did. Okay. And prior to doing your own landscape, educate yourself on plants. And you know, in other words, are they fast or slow growing? Are they evergreen, or will they lose their leaves? You know, is there a mature size? if not pruned, it will only grow 3 feet. Oftentimes, I've found over the years reading all the plant plant books that I have. The book will say this plant gets to 3 feet or this plant gets to 4 feet. Well, I find that the plant book and the description of the plant they're talking about in the book usually exceeds what they're talking about, and so I'm assuming that they're just going with a low average on that, and thinking that. Well, this person wants a 3 foot plant. There's his 3 foot plant. And then, you know, 5 years later, that 3 foot plant is 5 foot tall and they don't know what to do with it. and so that's when they either call a landscaper over to prune them, or they prune them themselves. And, you know, it's, and if you don't know how to prune properly, you can really mess up, the look of the plant and the growth habit of the plant. So go nursery shopping and see what's available out there. And if you make a list, let's say you walk through a nursery and there are seven or eight different plants that you like, write them down. And then look up, get a plant book, and look them up. And they're usually in these plant books, and you can find them at any of these big box stores, you know, Home Depot and those kind of places. You can find those books there, and they'll say, do-it-yourself landscaping, or how to landscape your own home, or plants, or whatever, Pacific Northwest plants, what's best for Oregon and Washington and Northern California, say. And look at the pictures. Look at and see what they look like. See, and then you can plan more accurately so that you don't have a catastrophe of having to really severely prune things or pull them out. There's a lot of jobs that I've gone to over the years. I've told this story a few times on the air. Lady called up and says, hey, I got these ugly roadies and I want them out and I want something new put in there. And so we go over there and I take the crew, and these Japanese maples were, 15 feet tall, and they only had leaves at the top. And I'm thinking, wow, what's that? And then there were some rhododendrons in there as well, and they were ugly too. So what we did is we took them all out. We pruned them way back. We took them all out. I took them back to the nursery, put them in giant pots, and a year later they were beautiful because they had room. They had been pruned severely, and they came back with all brand new leaves and things like that. And people don't take that into consideration due to lack of knowledge or lack of getting the information from a professional like a landscaper or a nursery person, and that makes all the difference in your landscape and how you treat your landscape. You're back. I'm glad to see you. I had 5 phone calls while you're gone.
We're kind of multitasking here, just kind of the way the day is going.
I know.
But we should take a break.
Okay, I think so.
All right, back with more in a moment. Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon at 4:39, 21 minutes away from 5. The afternoon report coming up. Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt. Decades of experience, many, many decades of experience.
Oh, keep going there.
With close to a half century of experience.
Only 50 years.
Well, that's a half century.
Well, okay, 49.9.
Okay. Try not to overpromise here. Just to let you know, you've been talking or asking about weather. Rain looks like it should be starting on Friday night and continuing until March. No, continuing through at least next Wednesday.
Uh-huh. Okay. But I thought you said in this morning's report that rain was imminent today and for the next few days. And
no.
No?
No.
Okay.
No.
Let's play the tape. And you find out.
Tape. What is a tape?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, back in the... That was... you're dating yourself there.
Okay.
It's all electronic.
So, I'm talking about plants and overplanting and...
Oh, by the way, you can call in now if you have a question.
Oh, yeah, 673-4464 if you have a question. I'd be glad to answer it. I'm glad to talk to somebody other than Kyle. He's just making fun of everything I say, and you can't hear him. But you ought to see his yard. And
wow!
Yeah, I didn't say it was bad. Except for the lit tree that's hanging over your back part of your house.
Yeah, and the, never mind. Moving along.
That you never wanted me to prune. Okay.
Oh, boy.
So we're talking about overplanting. We're talking about, you know, bare spaces.
Reminds me of going back to my house.
What to do. But I harp on some of these things because a lot of people need to hear it 3 or 4 or 20 times, you know, and prior to doing your own landscape, educate yourself on plants. In other words, are they fast or slow growing? How big do they get? What do they need? How much water do they need? Do they need a lot of fertilization? Do you prune them? You know, there are books that will tell you this. I mean, easy books with color, like I say earlier, color photos of what, you know, this is the before and this is the after. So, like, what is their mature size if not pruned? Well, you don't want to have this giant plant at your front door and people try to get through it to get in. But when you go nursery shopping, you'll see what's available and hit them with questions. Just say, well, how big does this get? What does it go in the sun? Does it go in the shade? What kind of soil do I need? How big of a hole do I dig? Those are the questions that the new clients that are just getting a brand new home or they've never landscaped their yard, but they want to do it because they just want to do that. Well, that's the kind of questions they'll pop at you, and that's the kind of questions you ought to pop at the nursery guy, no matter what nursery you go to. And if they don't have the adequate answers, just look and go somewhere else and find somebody that has the answers. And go nursery shopping. Just see what's available. And, you know, you get started with a few plants and see how they fit in your yard. And if you need additional plants, wait until like the next spring when new shipments come in. And this time of year, some plant materials are in short supply because here we are going into November fairly quickly. And, they've been shopped since like February and all through the summer. And so there may not be as many of any one variety that you were hoping. There may be, but we always had at Wintergreen, we always had hundreds of Japanese maples, hundreds of them all the time, and junipers and things like that. Those plants that are hot sellers that people want to have. Well, you may not find that at all nurseries, but that's why you want to go to several different places and find out, you know, what's available, how do they look, are they good, they lush, they green, or they kind of brown and droopy, or, you know, what's the deal? And those are things that you need to see. And try to picture how they'll fit in your yard as you're landscaping your yard. Will they stand out? Will they do a good job? Are they gonna? You've got maybe a small space. Will this plant advance to the point where it crowds out everything else, or do you have sufficient space for it to spread out and do its thing? And that's why I say always get started with just a few plants, see how they fit in your yard, see how they grow. And if you need additional plants, you're going to wait a year to the following spring or something like that and see what new plants are good. You know, and plant prices are increasing every spring. Don't spend a lot until you get a few planted and then determine if you need more. No sense in buying way too many and jamming them in too close, because that's not going to help you in the long run, and you won't enjoy it in the short run. But since we're having a great fall season, the weather has been just beautiful, and it's not been too hot, and it's not, we haven't had any freezing conditions yet. You're thinking about, well, walk, I want a lawn. And we still have some time for lawn installation or to do some lawn repair. Maybe you need some thatching done. Maybe you need some aeration done, and definitely some fertilization, because we're going into a cold time, and maybe a wet time one of these days is going to actually start raining. And you want to give the lawn something to eat, i.e. fertilizer, over the long course of the winter. They won't use it unless the temperature is the right temperature and the root systems are alive and going after the after the nutrition. But and again, if you have, you know, questions about any of these things, you can call me for a consultation, you know, those kinds of things. I do those. That's what I'm doing nowadays, is just consulting with folks and drawing some plans and things like that. Nothing real full time. I got plenty of work at home. But plant prices are also, like I say, they increase every spring, Not a lot, but it just depends on where they come from. Those out of Oregon are less expensive than those that come out of, say, California. California nurseries are a little more spendy. Not a lot, but maybe a dollar or two more on a certain plant, that kind of thing. And that way you can see, if you got a budget of, you know, $200 or $500, you can say, well, this is what I need. I need 10 plants for my yard. And you can pick the size accordingly to your budget. And like I say, since we're having a great fall, lawns can be installed or rehabilitated with success this time of year. You know, the soil is still moist from our recent rains, and soil prep would be easier as far as tilling and grading and that kind of thing. It's not soggy, it's not mushy, but it's damp enough to where it will till well, and you can rake it out and smooth it out and get, you know, prepare for a brand new lawn. It's whole lot easier this time of year. And when it's level, then you get your seed and your fertilizer and you install that. Or you can buy sod. Sod is instantaneous and it's a little bit more labor involved. But when you roll out that last piece of sod, hey, the job's done. And you'll see the lines between the sod, but within 7 to 10 days, all those lines disappear, and you know that it's rooted in well. And you can water, maybe water once or twice this time of year, a good watering, and then let the rain do the rest. And by April, when it rolls around, you have a beautiful lawn. And just make sure you fertilize it in early spring. Early spring meaning March, something like that. And winter. Winter is a good time to service your lawnmower, you know, before spring, like sharpen the blades and put fresh gas and new oil and all that kind of thing.
Wait, you're supposed to change the oil in them?
Yeah. Hmm. Drain that old garbagey stuff out after 7 years you had it in there, if there's anything left, then put some new stuff in. It makes it last longer, Kyle. And it makes it operate better.
I'm meticulous with getting cars maintenance done at regular intervals and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much with lawnmowers.
Well, I know, but it's a machine, and you do run it. Well, maybe you don't, but maybe your wife does. And after a while, like any machine, it needs to be refreshed. How's that? Fresh gas, fresh oil, that kind of thing. And it's frustrating to try to start your mower in March or April when the grass is growing an inch a day and you can't. And why is that? Well, the gas looks a little murky. Or, oh, gee whiz, the oil's really low. And sharpening the blades in the winter. Take your blades off your mower and take it to one of these lawnmower shops or your buddy that has the equipment and sharpen those blades and get them ready for next spring. Nothing is uglier than a lawn that just beat to death because the blades are dull and all it does is... It doesn't cut them, it just smashes them. And you stand back and go, what's wrong with my lawn? What's wrong with my mower? It's not working. It's ugly. Okay, we'll be back.
All right, 450 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, final segment. We've got about 6 minutes to go with the Commissioner of Dirt.
Yeah, and I got a few other things I want to hammer you with here because I've been hammering all show just trying to make a point that if you missed what I said the first time around, you got it the second time around about, you know, plant spacing and that kind of thing. And the other thing I wanted to hammer everybody about is your mowers. As we go into winter, give them one last mowing while it's still not pouring rain, and then get them serviced. You know, go get those blades sharpened and get a tune-up or a new spark plug or whatever you need. If you wait until spring, it's hard to get in and have your mower serviced because there's so many mowers in there trying to get serviced because they didn't do it in the winter. And there's a backlog of those mowers being serviced. Don't wait. Get in there and get it done. And so when it's time to mow in the spring, you're ready to go. And if your shrubs, like I say, are a little shaggy, prune them lightly. If they're really bad, you're going to have to heavy prune. And don't wait until they're crowded against your fence or your deck or your house. You do it prior to that event. They'll be neater and healthier. They'll have air circulation. Air circulation helps to keep the bug and disease population down. And, prune any of those sick-looking branches or those that have grown way too much and take the time to walk through your yard and don't let shrubs overgrow their location, for crying out loud. And then, Kate, take note. If you're going to take some overgrown shrubs out, don't get the same kind to put back in because it's going to be the same song and dance down down the road a bit. And if you don't know how, like I say, call somebody that can teach you. And if you stay with it in your yard, will always look good. It will always be pleasant to look at. And there's nothing better than, you know, driving into the neighborhood and you come up and your house stands out in the front and it looks good. It's neat, it's clean, it's pruned, it's mowed, it's edged, it's fertilized, and you're the envy of the entire neighborhood and they want you to go take care of their yard. So I don't know about that, but but when they're not pruned and left to grow, like I say, pretty soon they're growing each other. They don't look good. And overgrown shrubs are not as healthy as they could be because that's when all the bugs get in there. That's when all the fungus and those kinds of things get in there because there's a lot of leaves, a lot of branches, no sun, no air circulation. That's what keeps a lot of that stuff out is the free flow of air through the shrub. And if it's damp and shady all the time, that's what the bugs like. That's what certain bugs thrive on, and then they'll damage your plant and kill some plants, whatever. But that's a home for those bugs or those diseases and the ugliness. Who wants ugly shrubs? You know, And if you don't know how, like I say, there are plenty of people around here that know how. Like my first house, like I've said many times, was an overgrown bug hotel. I mean, it took me 2 years to prune and clean it up. 2 years! And I was a college student at the time, so I had some free time. And it was just, I had roses growing over my roof that were planted next to the house by the former owners. And they never pruned them. And they crawl up the house, up onto the roof and over the roof to, and met with the roses coming from the other side. And it was like... good thing I had a pickup, because when I cut them back, I had pickup loads of roses and rose vines and those kinds of things, and that was the only way I could keep anything in bounds. And from once I got them down there, that's what I did. I kept them down there. What are you doing with all the dials there?
Well, I'm going to see if we can get a quick phone call in. You're on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. What's your question?
Hey, real quick, Mike, I'm out here in the garden right now, and I have onions that I planted back in April. Can they overwinter, or should I yank those, you know, kind of small? Should I yank them now, or can they keep growing?
Are they small because they're a small onion, or they just haven't matured?
They just haven't matured, I don't think.
Well, leave them in for a while longer, but if it freezes hard, take them out.
Okay.
The water won't hurt them, but the freeze will hurt them to some extent. But have you pulled any of them out to see what size they were?
Yeah, they're like, you know, bigger than golf balls, but not much bigger. When I'm looking for of course, we all like to have softball size. They're a hardball at least.
Yeah,
But I always have a problem. I think I probably don't have enough sun where my garden is at the time, but I... does a lot of other vegetables pretty nice, but I always struggle with my onions.
Yeah. Well, you might try to figure out a better sunnier place for your onions this next year.
It's hard to find on the north side of a hill, though. You know,
you don't have a south side anywhere where there's a lot of sun and heat.
Well, yeah, I got an easter on the east. I get the morning sun pretty good and late afternoon, but. It doesn't do the all day. I drive by people that have the all day sun, and I go, gosh darn it, I bought the wrong piece of property. But no, we get by. But anyhow, yeah, I was just looking at these onions, and even though they're small, they're still tasty.
I've got small ones too, small ones and some medium size, and they all taste good. Yeah. When you fry them up or you use them in cooking, they still work.
Yeah, I just had a question. I didn't know if they would keep growing, kind of like garlic. Garlic will go all winter.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, well, I'll keep an eye on them.
Okay.
See what happens.
Well, call me back when you have success.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. So we're done.
Yeah, we are. Perfect timing there. Back next week, we'll have the podcast up in a few minutes with a new picture online at 541radio.com. Back next Wednesday at 4 for the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, the Commissioner of Dirt. The Afternoon Report coming up next on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.